Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Your Data HQ. We have Brent Brewington here with us today. Brent joined Aimpoint Digital as a principal data engineer with 10 years of experience across data and analytics in retail, supply chain, manufacturing, sales operations, and contact center operations. He is also active in the Atlanta open source and data communities. Thank you so much, Brent, for being here with us today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Sanjay. This is excited to talk data with you.
Cool, awesome. So, Brent, how and why did you get into this field?
Yeah, so actually in college, I just studied physics teaching. I found myself enjoying kind of tutoring the guys on my floor. In my dorm, so that you know, I've always just been interested in kind of the math and science side of things. Took some programming, like a C programming class, which was really fun. And then just you know, through college, I just mostly survived on Excel. And then as I've kind of grown in my career, I got my first job in industry after college in a supplier for Caterpillar, doing like quality management, Lean, Six Sigma kind of thing, and really, once I went through the Six Sigma training, that was kind of the first aha moment in terms of like how to connect people, process, and data with the actual analysis, and how to like really pull the data together to make it actionable. So yeah, I really leaned into that quality lean stuff throughout as I kept going. And then I've really liked to see the like those lean agile DevOps principles kind of rear their head recently, and you see more people talk about that. So went from manufacturing to retail, like I said, got into supply chain, you know, and as I went along, just worked more and more with bigger and bigger data, got into the cloud, you know, BigQuery, Snowflake world, and that's kind of where I landed now. And you'll probably hear me blab about it a lot on here, but I'm really excited about kind of the Snowflake DBT combination. Those are core tools I love. So
yeah, I like that combination too. Awesome. So looks like you've had experience across, you know, like different stages of various companies, as well as different you know, tooling, solutioning with respect to data and analytics. So what is your usual action plan or thought process in picking up, you know, the right data infrastructure for a given problem?
So I was on a team before I started at Aimpoint. I was on a team at Home Depot, and it was kind of it was a cool team because we were pretty, you know, like software engineering forward. I got to really dive in and become an expert in the tech stack and the business side of things. So I was a little bit lucky to kind of understand all that end to end to start. So, you know, typically, if I was starting with a new project for that, I'd want to like do a lot of discovery and, you know, interviewing users and the leaders in an area, just understanding what their pain points are, kind of understand the data, get, you know, some conceptual model of, you know, logical kind of idea of how things connect together. But in that Home Depot example, I knew where we were and was kind of thinking about where we needed to be. So I mapped that out, and then we were thinking in terms of like in the DBT world, you know, you do this kind of layered structure. So like staging intermediate final. So we were really thinking about how do we had to combine all these systems and all the Salesforce stuff just to get it into a raw layer. So that was kind of part of it. Kind of mapping those layers out and then also thinking about almost moving from like a microservice type architecture to the more centralized kind of data warehouse side. So I just put together a PowerPoint doc showing where we are, where we need to be, did a bunch of training with the team. So I think, you know, and that's more maybe like the strategic side of it. In that case, we had a given, you know, the tooling was already chosen because just I was in a company and, you know, IT kind of set that stuff. But, you know, we're working with different clients. You know, you might have, that might be another variable. So like, you know, what given, I don't know if you've ever seen that Matt Turk's MAD landscape. It's like machine learning, AI, and data. It's just this giant page of, you know, anytime you have to like pick tooling, you have a lot of options. So it's a good idea to like really clarify the problems you're solving with infrastructure project, and then create some criteria around how to whittle that giant list down into kind of a short list of tools, and then apply some different decision criteria for that.
Right. So there's a lot of factors to consider, such as like how many people are on the data team, how many people is this tool supposed to serve. Based on that, it could be like per user subscription or just like one major platform, and then like unlimited number of users on it. And what exactly are you trying to accomplish using that, right, kind of discussions?
Totally. And to add to that, I think it's really important to understand the team you're building for, and to make sure that whatever plan or tools you put together, that they have the capability to maintain it and understand it, and like, we talk a lot about like bus factor. So like, if somebody, well, maybe the more positive spin on it, if somebody misses their bus on the way to work, like if a person doesn't show up, and, can other people cover for them? So like, it's this idea of, can the team actually own that? And that's kind of an important consideration to make things stable.
Yeah, correct. So just based on all of those considerations and like, the kind of projects you've helped with, what are some of your favorite tools and frameworks?
So, I mean, tech-wise, like I said, dbt, Snowflake are kind of the big winners. I've worked a lot of BigQuery. And then I honestly, like ChatGPT and Copilot are pretty fun to use for data problems and writing code. They're really good at writing that boilerplate code just to get you started. With Copilot, you can start writing some stuff and then press tab, and it just like fills it all out for you. I really like Datafold as well. They have some pretty cool like data quality, CI/CD type data diff testing. And then I kind of jokingly call it the Python package formerly known as Pandas profiling. It's now Y data profiling, but everybody refers to it as Pandas profiling. That's a pretty great like open source tool for just doing a quick data quality profiling. Those are the things I use that stuff a ton. And then in terms of just like frameworks for thinking about problems, like I said, I started my career in Lean Six Sigma quality. So I always think about, like, once I learned about the eight wastes of Lean, you can just Google that term, and it's like a common thing. Once I learned about that, that's how I see problems now. It's kind of hard to, it's like one of those things that like removes the veil from your eyes, and you just see the world that way. Mm-hmm. So, and that kind of ties in with like root cause analysis, like plan, do, study, adjust, plan, do, check, act. So like, it's just that's a problem solving framework, which applies a lot. When if a data pipeline goes down, you got to have some way to like structure how you're going to approach figuring out what the issue is. So, and like I said, like DevOps, DataOps, I'll provide a bunch of like book and blog post links and stuff, but team topologies is another one. I love collecting all this stuff. I'm like kind of a dork with like reading books and blogs and everything. But I think the lean lens on it. Right? What's that?
As long as we have a framework, right?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, that lean space, and then like the tech tools and kind of product management to sit over top of all of it.
Cool, very cool. So you had just mentioned earlier about, the map space, and like you can see a bunch of tools, and like every quarter you go back to it, there's like 10 new tools popping up. So how do you deal with that? How do you sort of like filter out the noise and like manage to like evaluate and pick the right one for the business?
Yeah, I mean, one way to do it is just to like hone in on what works with what you currently have, and just get really good. Like if I was giving this advice to maybe somebody new in their career, so then I'd say just like pick the tools that tend to be the most popular, and just like hone in on it and get really good at it. Working on advising a client, or kind of to give general advice, it's probably a good idea to like, actually at any point we have a framework for picking like ELT tools. So basically, look at the market, put a huge list together of kind of like that mad thing, then filter it down to the short list. And then there's a list of attributes we look at for each tool. And then basically define some sort of scoring criteria and come up with like an actual like quantitative method to apply to those. And we split into some different categories like extract, load, transform, platform capabilities, and then how well does the enablement and support side of it work? And then yeah, we look at each of those things for each tool and kind of, it's essentially like an Excel file that has a lot of, that tracks through a lot of this. And then we score all those and then just calculate like a weighted score for each tool, and then really shortlist kind of the final recommendations, and then also weigh in some kind of client needs, some of that stuff. And you know, in the end, you might whittle it down to one tool, but also, you know, in this modern data stack tooling space, a lot of times you have multiple tools that can, yeah, you know, do a really good job of the different stages of it. So in the end, you kind of come up with a the final recommendation from that list.
Got it. And this is kind of okay or easy to do for, like, you know, well-established tools or ones with like your bigger community from which you can also pull in the opinions, just use cases. How long does it take to like sort of reach that evaluation stage for like a very new tool?
I guess it depends on where it's at in the hype cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I mean, maybe to go through that whole process, I mean, it depends on how deep you want to get with it. But you know, you could do this in like a couple week or two. I mean, it's something that, I mean, you know, like a tool like DBT, for example, you know, they've been around for, I think, 4 or 5 years. Well, they've been on the market for since like late 20 teens. So if you were to pick that up now, there's tons of documentation and stuff. For something that's like brand new, you know, it might take some more research and trying it out and stuff. So, I mean, that's one of the factors we use to kind of just see how mature it is in space. I mean, I would say it's been kind of interesting to see Datafold kind of come into the conversation some more. Like I found them like, I don't know, a year and a half ago, and like I started seeing Gleb go on some different podcasts and stuff. So they're kind of rising up. So we're interested in plugging them in stuff. So they're gonna enter that space.
Cool. And what advice or pointers would you give to someone new in this field?
Like I said before, just like, I mean, I was gonna say like lean into like tools that you know, but I mean, learn Python. That's gonna take you really far. I used to be in the, like, I was really excited about using R. Like, that's how I started. I went from Excel to VBA to R, then to Python and SQL. Yeah, tech wise, you're gonna need to know Python. And then get on LinkedIn, follow a bunch of, like, just start searching for like some of these, you know, data terms and stuff. Find some people in there to talk about that. Follow them. There's tons of great content being put out there on LinkedIn, and just, you know, it's a good way to connect with people and do some networking. And then I think just to recommend some like actual resources, like I said, Python, go to automatetheboringstuff.com. That is the best Python tutorial I've ever seen. And then DBT's website, they have some really great documentation. Snowflake does too. They're like online courses. If you want to learn, I mean, I see all the stuff through your data engineering lens. I was previously a data scientist, but like there's a lot of, yeah. If you're interested in the space, take a look at getting into data engineering and learning your Python and SQL. And those are good resources for that. And then I do you want me to keep listing? I've got a whole outline of stuff. I'll put it in the show notes. Maybe. But yeah. But basically there's a lot of great info out there. Do your, you know, find a podcast to follow, this is a good one.
Yeah.
And then
thank you for
just
that.
Subscribe. Yeah, like there's a lot of content to digest, but just you should be constantly learning, and you should have basically a list of bookmarks you check every day just to keep up with this space.
Cool. So what are your interests outside of, you know, data and data engineering?
Yeah, I love music. Play cello. I played in a friend's wedding last fall, and then my sister-in-law asked me to maybe play in hers, and then I'm actually going to see Santiago Canyon Valencia in Rockport, Massachusetts. It's like this venue with like a big glass wall that like looks out on a bay, so it's gonna be incredible. But yeah, I love music.
Very cool.
I love the outdoors, backpacking, camping. Got my first kid on the way this fall, so I'm gonna be a dad. Hopefully I will share my passion of data and music and the outdoors with this little guy. So but yeah.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Brent. It was awesome having you. And, you know, thanks for all the insights on how to pick the right tool and the right data infrastructure for any given problem. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.